factory we call the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And if you don't have a sense of excitement about this, I don't know what you're here for.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You sound re-energized. You sound like you're bouncing off the walls, Josh.
We're ready for any challenge.
Earlier on the show, Brooklyn Nets analyst Richard Jefferson, co-host of PTI, Michael Wilbon, actor Tay Diggs. Coming up, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, plus co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Hawley. And now,
I can multitask.
It's Rich Eisen.
Our number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football joining us in about 20 minutes time, and it's always a delight when he joins us, and we have lots to talk about. The AFC and NFC Championship game beckons. Championship Sunday beckons. The setup is going to be phenomenal over the next couple days, and he's going to be joining us, Kyle Brandt, on the program. Michael Hawley will help us take us to his show with Michael Smith, as we do every day here on NBC Sports on Peacock. We take you to Brother from Another, and we're here every day, 12 to 3 Eastern. If you want to watch the Rich Eisen Show, that's how you can do it. And you get the Peacock app. It is free, peacocktv.com. If you miss any of it, you can also watch us on demand on Peacock TV. You can also see some clips or catch up on our show on our YouTube feed, which is going to soon to have a very new header that just got unveiled to us during our Peacock-only segment to end the hour. There it is. Bernie Sanders is going to be on our header. The five of us. Be careful, guys. There's somebody in your rearview mirror, and it's the Vermont senator sitting on a folding chair looking very cold on our header. We are definitely putting that on our YouTube header for the rest of the week at the very least.
That is funny.
Oh, my gosh. So here on a program as well, we just heard from Lions coach Dan Campbell. He's going to, I guess, if he was only in the division with the Rams, he would silence them, right? Pretty much the way that he was talking like Hannibal Lecter, for crying out loud. He's going to try and silence the silence of the Bears, the silence of the Packers, the silence of the Vikings.
Just ripping off kneecaps.
We got to play that again. Put that in your news update.
You want to play it again?
Absolutely. Oh, great. We're going to play that again. So Don Bowie, I'm sort of signaling to our EP back there. We got all the sound bites and everything for Chris Brockman's news update leading off our third hour of our program. Just, we want to update the poll question before we get to your news update, Chris Brockman. Let's do that, please.
Yeah, so it's the 13th anniversary of Breaking Bad's premiere was yesterday. So it got me thinking this morning, which TV show do you wish you could go back and watch for the first time?
Okay. Like,
do you wish you'd never seen so you could start it all over again? Oh, some good ones. Breaking Bad, Sopranos, The Wire, Game of Thrones.
Where do we currently stand in hour number three, Chris?
14%.
The Wire, right?
The Wire. 24% Sopranos, 26% Game of Thrones, 35.5% Breaking Bad.
Look, you know how I feel about Breaking Bad, man. To me, it's the best drama in the history of basic cable, which has more of a construct or constriction placed on it than premium cable and pay cable, which is just like anything goes. Okay. And The Sopranos, if you remember, when The Sopranos first came out, the concept was that it was derivative of the movie Analyze This. You remember that?
That's what people thought.
Where it's just where De Niro's the mobster in therapy with Billy Crystal, and instead of it being Billy Crystal as the therapist, it's Dr. Melfi. Right?
Right.
Lorraine Bracco, the actress, who
amazing
has, you know, any one of many Uncle June being the connection of mobster films. You know, he was Johnny Ola in The Godfather, and now he was Uncle June in The Sopranos, and Lorraine Bracco, who is in Goodfellas, right, as the wife,
Karen.
And a lot of those guys were in Bronx Tale and Goodfellas.
Sure,
as well.
Sure,
you know,
right,
Tony
exactly.
And
so at any rate, truly a groundbreaking television. And Game of Thrones is something that you're upset. You said before the show you'd rather not have ever watched it because of how it ended. Like literally, that's your take on it, Chris?
My take on Game of Thrones now is that it was a complete and gigantic waste of time. I wasted 80 something hours watching Game of Thrones because of how it ended. The last season of Game of Thrones truly ruins now when I think about Game of Thrones. All I can think about is how terrible the ending was, and it ruins the joy I had. Joy in quotes, because, you know, there's so many awful parts of your right. favorite people dying.
Right.
That I experienced for the first six, seven seasons.
Now you know, well, now you know how Raiders fans feel about the Tuck Rule game.
Wow. It was a
the ending was terrible.
They so went the to entire the Super Bowl season, the entire the next
season,
year.
The entire season, you're just like, why go along for the ride? Yeah. You know, it's a horrible ending.
That's funny.
No, but look, as you know, we all know the books that it was based on.
Are still not done.
They're not done.
Yeah.
So they came up with their own ending.
Get it, but again.
I mean, last season was
it was just so rushed. Like,
but clearly, the fact, like, but the first several seasons of the show is amazing.
For sure.
So you won't, when they come up with a sequel or the prequel, you're not gonna buy in?
I am not sure yet if I'm going to watch.
You're going to buy it.
What is it? The Targaryen one is coming out soon?
I don't know.
Not sure.
Maybe we'll watch.
I just don't know if I can do it, though, because it was so bad. The whole series has been soured for me.
But once again, when it comes to these poll questions on movies and TVs and pop culture, you know, where I voted for the last one. When anybody tells me that they have never seen The Wire, I'm jealous. The Wire is so remarkable. The Wire is one of the best shows in television history. I can't even keep track of how many characters there are on The Wire. And I know the Sopranos cast is sprawling, the Game of Thrones. I mean, you need to come up with Wikipedia or whatever, you know, Thronesopedia or whatever to try and follow it.
Wiki Thrones.
Wiki Thrones or whatever. But
it's a real thing.
You know, it really is a remarkable, and one of the greatest anti-heroes of all time is Tony Soprano, right?
Right.
Stringer Bell from The Wire is right up there, man. Right up there. All of these shows pretty much have some anti-heroes.
Yeah, big time.
You know?
Big time.
Obviously, from Breaking Bad, Walter White and Tony Soprano, and also from The Wire is Stringer Bell. I mean,
and then, you know, if you haven't seen it yet, but, you know, Khaleesi takes a turn.
Wow. Spoiler alert, sir.
I mean,
if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, I mean, it's only the biggest show of the last 20 years.
Which you wish you'd never seen. So.
I wish I'd never seen it.
All right, Kyle Brandt's coming up, Michael Holly as well. We have some breaking news on the coaching hiring front, do we?
Yeah,
okay,
breaking
news. Chris Brockman, hit it. Go for it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you got over there?
Okay, according to Adam Schefter and ESPN, the Eagles are hiring Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni as their new head coach. Spent the last three seasons as a Chiefs assistant coach, five seasons with the Chargers, and the last three with the Colts. 39-year-old. He's now the head man in Philadelphia.
Wow. Nick Sirianni, huh? All right. Here's two things. So, obviously, the greatest Wentz has ever been is with Frank Reich, right? On the staff.
Yes.
Correct? With Peterson.
With Doug Peterson.
That was the zenith. So, I guess somebody who's been the OC alongside of Frank Reich, let's get him in here. Because we're not getting Frank back, right?
Nope.
So this is just another, from what it seems, just on its face, another buy-in on Wentz. Let's make one last move here to try and fix Wentz. That's it. We have to play him. We're going to play him. I've made the decision to fire our Super Bowl head coach over. We're playing him. We're going to bring somebody in to connect with Wentz. That's what we're going to do. And that's that.
That's that.
That's what it seems like, because you're getting somebody from the Kansas City tree, right? The Frank Reich tree, the Andy Reid tree.
Yep.
Is what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
So then if we're going to get somebody from the Andy Reid tree again, right? Where the hell is Eric Bieniemy? Why is Eric Bieniemy not being hired in the NFL? If it happens in this way, again, how is this guy not hired in the NFL?
I don't know. That seems to be the big question right now.
Something crazy I saw on Twitter after the 4th-and-1 play with the Chiefs. A bunch of people got on Twitter and start going, well, Eric Bieniemy doesn't call the plays. And it was just like, there was almost like a bunch of people trying to discredit Bieniemy in that moment.
What is going on here?
And it's just, it made no sense to me whatsoever.
I'm just going to say it, man. And again, I know it's very difficult to say this because, you know, it's not, I know people of color are hearing me right now and screaming at their radios and televisions. Why do you think Eric Bieniemy is not hard? Do you think that's what it is? Seriously, I'm asking you.
Look, man, if you saw what I saw on Twitter and then you saw the amount of people who were instantly trying to discredit this man, like everyone was like, well, he doesn't call the plays. That's Andy Reid. Well, he designs the plays. He comes up with the plays. And there was just like seemed to be a bunch of people just trying to make it seem like he had nothing to do with their success in that instant, in that moment. And I could not wrap my head around it. I mean, I can wrap my head around it, but whatever.
Well, I mean, I'm on Sunday game day morning on NFL Network. I'm going to interview Travis Kelce. You know, I've already conducted that interview for Sunday's show. I don't know what's making it or not, but I did give him the time to pound the table for Eric Bieniemy and about what, you know, what type of head coach he can be. Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends in the business, says he's ready. He's the man. He holds everyone accountable. You can't, you know, screw up around this guy. He will call you out. It doesn't matter who you are. Mahomes loves him. He loves him. Reed loves him. What's the big deal here?
And I remember somebody tweeted something about, well, they found something that happened when he was in Colorado.
Oh, that's stupid.
Like, that was, how many years ago was he in college at Colorado? Like, come on. Get out of here.
And now the Texans are the only team left.
Without a head coach. He's their only hope, man. I'm said that's the answer.
So is Bieniemy?
The question, I don't know if Bieniemy wants the job there.
You said he's
honestly
their only hope? Is he Obi-Wan now?
He should be. If you want to keep Deshaun Watson happy, go hire Eric Bieniemy.
Help us, Eric Bieniemy. You're our only hope.
Hire Eric Bieniemy and stick him next to Mahomes and go to work. If you want Mahomes and put that fire out, go get the coach he wants. And I know you don't let the quarterback decide who the coach is, unless your quarterback is going to want to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans with John McClain down at the Houston Chronicle,
right,
said it's up to Leslie Frazier and Eric Bieniemy. Those are the two under heavy consideration
there
for
we go.
The Texans.
Okay.
Leslie Frazier, the Bills, D.C.
Well, you heard what Josh Norman had to say about him yesterday. Oh, my word.
Whew.
What else over there,
Well,
Chris?
Let's play Dan Campbell again, because that was...
Oh, my good
that was
Lord.
Sure something. So Dan Campbell gets a six-year deal.
Six-year
deal? To be the Lions head coach, which is insane. Everyone's saying he looks like the dude from Big Lebowski. And there's a report
man.
He even has the dude on his name placard outside his office in Detroit. But this is how he opened his press conference today in Detroit.
This place has been kicked. It's been battered. It's been bruised. And I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you... you know, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, but none of that matters. And you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language. All right. Here's what I do know is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city. All right. And the city's been down and it found a way to get up. All right. It's found a way to overcome adversity. All right. And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
So just if you're keeping score at home, the Lions are the ones who are going to be toothless and have been knocked down twice and then three times. And the opponents are going to be the ones without any kneecaps and be clearly without any kneecaps. They're the ones who are not going to be standing. How can you stand without any kneecaps?
You can't.
Did I get that right?
And, oh, and they're,
yeah,
also,
man. They're also going to have a hunk removed.
Hunk, yeah.
I'm telling you, this is going to play well in certain parts of the state of Michigan. I'm serious. Where a guy who looks like Jack Morris, okay, one of the Tiger greats, Bulldog Jack Morris, is coming in with a Bulldog mentality in a part of the country where I grew up as a man in a way in college, And I was around a whole bunch of people who loved that 3 yard and a cloud of dust hit you on a 25 degree day, hat on a hat mentality. They love it. It's going to be great. And I'm sure a lot of Lions fans are sitting there thinking it's totally changed now. But then they're going to have to play football, and we will see how prepared they are. I'm not saying that somebody who comes across talking in this language can't prepare. Everybody says and from New Orleans that he's buttoned up and ready to roll, and it's going to make a lot of good copy. And it's a great soundbite.
You know,
we've played it twice now
twice
on this show.
In the last half hour.
So we're in rubber meets road, and Matt LaFleur's Packers come at you with Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron, I don't know how many kneecaps he's going to have by the end of the day, but you're going to have your teeth kicked in, that's for sure.
This is also playing well on Wall Street, Rich.
Yes.
Not sure this is a correlation, but Ford stock up almost 7% today.
There we go. Quality is job one. That's what it was back in the day. So,
just saying. A couple other NFL notes real quick. The Steelers have agreed to a one-year contract with quarterback Dwayne Haskins.
All right.
Wow.
Okay, here we go. Let's hope that his travails and trials and tribulations in Washington has this kid understanding what it takes to be a professional. And Mike Tomlin, here we go.
This is also
definitely going to be a guy who's going to not quibble, you know.
This is also after Diana Rossini reported today that the Steelers interviewed Hugh Jackson for their OC spot earlier this
week.
Here
we go.
Bruce Arians said that Antonio Brown will be a game time decision on Sunday. And some sad news up in Wisconsin, former Packers GM Ted Thompson passed away last night.
Wow.
At age 68.
The architect of the great Holmgren Favre years after Ron Wolf left. I guess Ron Wolf and then Ted Thompson. Now to Brian Gutekunst. Ted was a man of few words. Couldn't have been nicer whenever I was around him. Nope. But he always sat in the same spot right in front of our booth at the combine, right at the finish at the 40-yard dash line. And he would sit down, and I don't think he said a word all day, and just made all these notes and then drafted the right players for the right situation for the Packers.
Great GM for a long time.
May he rest in peace. Man, the Dan Campbell stuff. The only thing that reminds me of is when I think I've told this story. When Mike Tyson lost the dude abides is that for real, Don? Is that that's a real tweet from the Lions, and it's a photograph of Dan Campbell's office.
Yeah.
Where the sign is Dan Campbell, head coach / the dude.
He looks just like him.
No, he does not. He looks like
man.
He looks like Jack Morris. He's a little bit more manicured and, you know, rocked up than the dude who's drinking White Russians, you know, and
that big goatee
and smoking pot and, you know, and
bowling.
Yeah, and right, and having these sort of, you know, drug induced bowling dreams or whatever. and again, this will be something that Dan Campbell is going to have to, you know, deal with, that people think that he's not to be taken seriously when he talks like that. As much as he's trying to say that the Lions need that things are going to be the days of the decades of getting their teeth figuratively kicked in are over. I mean,
don't you think Lions fans are like hyped hearing that, though?
That's what I'm saying, that there's going to be a large cross section. And I was too. And Rex Ryan came in and said that we're not going to kiss Bill Belichick's rings. Like, yeah. And then they won and dunned him in the division round. And Bart Scott can't wait. Like, yeah. And then that lasted 2 years.
Yeah.
4 years, Rex was gone. And it was a total mess. Because after a while, I guess he started believing his own business. And then Buffalo said, we'll get him too. We'll get him, too. He took the Jets to back-to-back championships games. We'll get him, too. And how quickly did that turn? Fast. Now they got the right guy in Sean McDermott. I'm not saying this is Rex Ryan part two. I'm just saying that after the bravado ends, you have
football,
to win games.
Yeah.
And then even if you do win games for a couple of years, the bravado might get those two seasons that are successful. But how long is that going to last? You know? That's good for now. You need somebody for the long term. Certainly if you've hired him for 6 years.
Well, they've won the day. They won today.
But exactly. How many times were you said, hey, the Jets won the press conference?
Yeah. Won the offseason every year.
And again, he's a leader and people will follow him. And the question is after, you know, 3-4 years, you know, and telling mayonnaise that his grandmother once wanted to fly jets, that after a while, the officer needs to become a gentleman. I'm serious. You know what I mean? Like, so we will see. But it's fascinating to me. We played a soundbite twice. Just real quick, because I just mentioned it. Reminds me of the time I covered Mike Tyson trying to get his boxing license in New Jersey. And ESPN put me on a train from Connecticut down to Trenton, New Jersey, where he was talking in front of the New York State Boxing Commission or whatever it was, trying to get his boxing license back. And he had a whole bunch of character witnesses. One was Customato's widow talking about how he used to take care of pigeons and stuff like that. I'm sure it was a video. They play the video. Then they had Chuck the Bayonne Bleeder Wepner talk about how dip. No, because he had to prove to these people that, you know, he's not going to bite any more ears off.
Yeah.
Okay. Like at some point, you got a box and you can't bite people's ears off. And Chuck the Bayonne Bleeder Wepner got up there and started talking about how nasty a fight game can be. And sometimes you kind of, you know, need to hit somebody in the head. You know, like that's what happens. I'm the Bayonne Bleeder. And I'm sitting there in the back taking notes. I'm like, I can't wait. I got to talk about this on SportsCenter. Then Bobby Chez got up there. And he's talked about how in the ring, things can get out of hand and you're a warrior. You have to have a warrior mentality and you can lose your head. And you hit somebody so hard that if you knock their eye out of their socket and you want to make sure that you grab that eye off the canvas and eat it before your opponent could put it back in his head. Literally, that's what he said to the New Jersey Boxing Commission.
That's amazing.
And you could just look around the room and just saying, this is the worst possible character witness for somebody who just bit Evander Holyfield's ear and wants his license back. You know? And sure enough, we break for lunch, come back from lunch, Mike pulled his request. Yeah. Over.
Denied.
Even not denied. It's just like, we're not going to go through with it. It just, the morning didn't go well. That's what I'm saying. It's just, for the moment, sounds great. Long term, it's going to work. It's got to. And it very well could. Lions could have just had their coach. And we will look back when the Lions are winning NFC North championships and heaven forbid for them hoisting the Lombardi trophy. And here's the guy talking about, you know, we took their kneecaps and they're wearing T-shirts about it and they're following Dan Campbell. I hope that's the way it works for Lions fans. Let's take a break. Kyle Brand of Good Morning Football when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then Michael Holly from Brother From Another to help us take us to his show. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We are right here on the Rich Eisen Show, back here in our Los Angeles studio, our buddy from Good Morning Football, and 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. Fantastic podcast on The Ringer and Spotify back here on the show. How are you, Kyle?
Rich, I'm ready for the game day tweet from Rich Eisen. It's Championship Sunday, people.
It's coming.
It gets me fired up. I love it each and every week. Do you keep that in your draft folder, or do you just shoot?
No, I do it. I do it when I wake up. There's two reasons why I do that, Kyle.
Yeah, tell me.
One is it's just a fun way to start the day. On football, and two, it's my way of letting the producers know I did. I didn't sleep through my alarm. I'm serious.
It's a sign of life.
It's a sign.
Holding up today's newspaper to say that you're still alive.
It's proof of life.
It has a
proof of life.
Gentlemen, start your engines feel to it. So I always look forward to it each and every week. But this is the best one of the year, I think.
I'm usually sending it at like 4 a.m, and I just want to. It's a way to let the producers know. Don't worry, I'm awake.
It really, I like it.
You know, it's
I like it.
It's multiple purpose. I can't, I can't wait for it because, and I've talked about it with Wilbon, earlier on the show, and I want to hit it with you here, that this is for either victor in the NFC Championship game a capstone. It's a capstone. I know that there's another game to come, but just to make it to the Super Bowl, Rodgers, who you were one of the first to interview. After Jordan Love got drafted, I believe he was your inaugural guest on your podcast for
episode one.
Okay, episode one. He's sitting there with his Hail Bop Comet background and sipping on a drink like he was probably on draft night when Jordan Love got drafted. That his response to all this is all good. RELAX. I take my own advice. I made the Super Bowl. And I'm the MVP of the league. I win this, I'm going to play in the Super Bowl and the night before I'm going to win the MVP. And then there's Brady saying, okay, well, how am I going to do in a new spot without Bill and the Patriots? Well, I'm making the Super Bowl in my own building. First quarterback to ever do that. I mean, the stakes for this game are huge, tremendous. I can't wait.
It's incredible. Yeah, and the fact that Tom Brady is one game away from saying for the rest of his life, hi, my name is Tom Brady. I've been to 10 Super Bowls. 10. The next closest quarterback was John Elway with 5, and I'm now doubling up John Elway, a living legend, because I've been to 10 of them. And make no mistake, the 10th one was real, real sweet, because it is a solo project from which I broke away from the empire that I did the first 9, and they got another one. It's a crazy, crazy. I mean, I know the guy has a lot of things to brag about and be happy about. 10 Super Bowls is a joke, whether he wins or not. And sometimes, Rich, it's not even just about how many you win, of course. But history will be what is said about Brady. It's like Coach K. I think he's got somewhere 12 Final Fours or something. They don't say how many champs. They say 12 Final Fours. Meryl Streep has 19 Oscar nominations. She doesn't win them all. She doesn't win most of them. She got 19 nominations. Tom Brady will go to 10 Super Bowls. And with me, how the Exhibit A for how hard it is to get to a Super Bowl, even 2, is that Rodgers hasn't been to 2. Rodgers has won as many Super Bowls as Brad Johnson. He's been to as many as Rex Grossman, and he's the best guy to ever throw a pass in history, I think. It is wild to think that he can't get to 2 and Brady's about to get to 10. And to bring it full circle with what you mentioned, this is a season that Aaron Rodgers started, and I did sit down and talk to him, and he sat down with what appeared to be a bucket of scotch on a Saturday night and straight up said, yeah, I don't think I'm finishing my career with the Packers. I'll move on. They made their bed. They're going to move on to this kid at one point, and I'm going to be gone. I don't even know if that's true anymore. How could you win MVP and get to a Super Bowl and then get rid of the guy? He might have changed the whole world. It's crazy.
It is. And Brady, even if he doesn't win this, last week against Breeze was his 32nd career playoff win. We want to talk about doubling people up. That's double the number 2 on that list, and that's his childhood hero, Joe Montana. He's doubled up Joe Montana in career postseason victories, 32. He's 32 for 43 in the playoffs. Yeah. He's hitting, that's his average, 32 for 43 in terms of winning in the playoffs.
Against the best teams in the league and the best defenses. We could go back and forth, Rich. I know you're a tennis man. I'll go right to the net, right back at you with another Brady nugget that I found.
Okay.
Tom Brady, if you remember week 1, his debut with the Buccaneers was at the Superdome, and they played against the Saints. It did not go well. He threw a pick 6 in that game to Janoris Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
That interception is the last one he has thrown on the road this season. Currently, Tom Brady is riding the longest streak in NFL history without a road interception. That many pass attempts without an interception on the road. It's a crazy streak. No one's ever done it. So all this attention, Rodgers is playing incredible, Rodgers never played better, it's all true. Brady is playing phenomenal as well. I wasn't aware of that. No one in history since 1948, since they were tracking it, has gone longer on the road without throwing an interception than Tom Brady current to date.
So what do you think, all said and done, which 12 makes it, Kyle?
It's tough to pick against the one in green. You know, we were talking about the typical, you know, the cold and the weather and Lambeau, and I said on the air, I said, you know, Rodgers has played in it for years, but if I'm Brady, I'm borrowing the phrase, you know, from Bane in The Dark Knight Rises, where if I'm Brady, I'm saying, you know, you merely adopted the cold. I was born in it. And Tom Brady was winning championship games in the cold when Aaron Rodgers was at Butte Community College. I mean, he's been doing it a long time. I said this on the air. Later that day, I got a text from a member of the Green Bay Packers on the defensive side who chose to remain anonymous, who said, you got that wrong. It's totally different. I don't care if Brady was there for years. Living in these conditions is different from that moment when you get off the plane and hit the tarmac and say, holy crap, it's freezing. How are we going to win this game? The weather will be a factor, and the Packers will be dealing with it better. I really think that. And I'm not picking against the 12 in green. I'm going to go with the Packers. I think the Packers are going to be in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's flip the script here.
Let's do it.
You know our Mandalorian quarterback and Josh Allen with his baby Yoda is bringing Beasley, and he's bringing Diggs with him, and he's going to Kansas City, where I'm going to have to assume it'll be Mahomes. So let's just say it's Mahomes, but coming off of the week and the injuries and the concussion and also the tight games that they've been playing, how do you suss the AFC championship game here?
It's wild to me that the Bills could be in the Super Bowl again.
Oh, yeah?
And there's a funny hypothetical, Rich, or a quandary, rather. I have a Bills friend who I hang out with sometimes, and I posed this question to him. I said, as a Bills fan who's been through it all since, you know, the 80s, would you rather lose this title game, play real tough, you lose on a field goal to the Chiefs and Mahomes, okay, that's tough, great season, or you get to the Super Bowl and you lose again? You've lost five straight Super Bowls, and you lose to your nemesis of the last two decades, Tom Brady, which, and his brain was in a pretzel. And he said, oh, I can't get to the Super Bowl and lose again to Brady. Maybe it's better to lose the title game. And I said, to hell with that. Take the shot, throw the punch, get to the Super Bowl, win the game. And I have to tell you, Rich, I feel a certain kind of way about the Bills. I really do.
Is that because, is that the reason?
I think the Bills are going to win the game.
Is that because they asked you to do the hype tape for them last week and you did and it worked and all that? I mean, are you drinking the Bills juice? Is that basically what I'm saying?
Drinking
right
it by choice, not because I have to. I'm under no obligation to pick the Bills.
Correct.
Not at all. It has nothing to do with a hype speech. It has everything to do with they've lost three games all season. Two when the game was moved and adjusted wildly because of COVID, and one on a Hail Mary. One of those was to the Chiefs, and there was a slew of guys on the Bills who were not out there that day. I think it's a different team. I'm riding them. I think they're great, and I think that they win almost every game by double digits, including against the Ravens, where they held to 3 points.
Mm.
I think it's Buffalo.
Buffalo versus Green Bay. My 9-year-old Cooper is the one who told me that in my office 2 weeks ago when I said, Coop, they're giving me one more mulligan right here to predict the Super Bowl. What do you think? And he goes, Packers over Bills, Dad. And I'm like, okay, I'm going on the air and saying it.
Awesome.
I like it. I'm with you guys. Kyle, I feel you.
You do, huh?
You do?
I feel a Bills money line, Packer money line parlay.
What is the matter with you?
That's what I feel.
You're talking to two
Make
NFL
me
people.
Feel better about the Bills. I mean, the Chiefs don't, they really don't ever lose. Mahomes almost never loses at all. Like, why? Why do you feel so good? Now, but parlays aside.
I feel when I watch them play, they just don't look right. They don't look like the juggernaut we've been used to seeing in the last couple of years. I think the toe is worse than maybe Mahomes and the Chiefs are letting on. You could kind of see it before he got knocked out on Sunday. I just don't feel it this year. And I feel like Buffalo, it's their time. It's kind of like what you did with the Browns, Herb Brooks speech. It's the Bills' time right now, and I just kind of feel it. You can feel it watching the games. Josh Allen is just playing on another level right now.
But also this, like last year, and this is something because Kelsey's going to be on Game Day Morning on Sunday. I interviewed him right from this desk on Tuesday, and this is what I said to him. Again, I don't know what's going to make the piece or not. But here's the thing. Last year, the Chiefs were like, I don't know, because they got to come from behind every game. Mm-hmm. Now they're not winning by enough. Mm-hmm. And we're still wondering, and they won the championship. And Mahomes is Mahomes, and Kelsey's even better, and Tyreek Hill's even better. And, you know, and then Le'Veon Bell's their running back. It's not the Williams kids, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, they're actually a better team when you look at it this year. And their coaching staff was hardly poached for a defending Super Bowl champ either. Now they're just, we're wondering, where are the blowouts? As opposed to, well, now you got to keep coming back. And that's, will we ever be happy with the way the Chiefs win? I don't know. That's my two cents on that.
I think it's a good two cents. Rich, I have to pick your brain for something. You mentioned game day morning.
Yes, sir.
There's chatter right now that I'm going to be thrilled to be joining you this weekend.
All right.
And from what I hear,
yes,
there may be a sort of hype man competition between myself and the playmaker in which we go head-to-head. And I just wonder if you have any insight on that or even advice. I wouldn't ask you to betray Michael Irvin, but I'm trying to gear out myself.
Well, I think the only way you can take out Michael Irvin in terms of a hype man, because long before the Bills asked you to hype up the crowd or the fans or the team, Michael's been doing that literally for maybe every single year you've been on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So my only suggestion for you, Kyle, would take a page from Dan Campbell's playbook and bite his kneecap off and see if he gets up. You know, just go all Dan Campbell on him.
That was some press conference. I'm watching this thing unfold like you are. And he's chewing ankles and eating femurs, and like it reminded me of the alleged Army Hammer attacks. I mean, what the hell was that? My God!
You're an Army Hammer. I'm like, he's Hannibal Lecter. I mean, like the Detroit Lions, Fava Beans and a nice Chianti. I don't know why everybody's calling him the Dude, because he's rocked up. The Dude was drinking White Russians and smoking pot and dreaming of bowling balls and stuff like that. I mean, he's not the Dude. You know, he looks like Jack Morris, and he talks like Hannibal Lecter, and he's coming at you for the Detroit Lions.
All right, so you got that. And then meanwhile, Salah is holding court, and he says, get used to the phrase, all gas, no brakes.
Yep.
Which sounds great, but also, Rich, like that literally translates into a car accident, so I don't know.
Oh, my God. And the Jets used to be owned by a gas magnate in Leon Hess, and how'd that work out? Oh, man.
What a day.
Were you watching that live? Were you on Good Morning Football live when Dan Campbell spoke, or that was later?
Oh, no, I wish. I would have ran to my TV if I could have. I started seeing it on Twitter, and I'm saying, wait, is this really? And then when I saw the Dude thing, I'm like, that has to be a Photoshop, right? No, it's real. And then I'm seeing him, these transcripts about him, you know, eating kneecaps or doing whatever he's doing. And I'm like, that's the real thing? I thought somebody re-edited or something. No, it's real. So it was not. I'm reacting to it now.
So here's the thing. What if you had, you were showing it, that is real. I can't believe it. It says head coach slash the Dude on the wall. And, you know, so what if you, I don't know how your process goes creatively with the fantastic Good Morning Football production staff. But what if you had said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fire up the Lions. I'm going to be Hannibal Lecter, and I'm going to talk about biting kneecaps and kicking teeth in. They would have told you, you can't do that. You can't go on the air and say that. I mean, you can't do that. That's sadistic, and it's terrible. And then the coach actually says that. So now I think that's your next year. When you're firing up the Lions, you know, just leave out multiple Migs. That's all I'm telling you. Just leave him out.
Yeah, Migs takes it to another level. He kicks it up a notch, as they say. But as we know, Hannibal was heard speaking to him late last night, and then Migs swallowed his own tongue. So maybe that's all part of the plan, too. It's getting crazy in Detroit, though. I like it. At least it's different.
I know. It sure is. All right, Kyle. So this gives me, again, my Zoom to prepare for the six-hour game day morning that starts at 9 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. We're going to have that on Saturday. I good luck, man. You versus Mike will be fantastic. That will be
a great idea. Field, I promise you, Rich.
What a great idea. Thanks for the call, Kyle. You be well.
Of course.
The one and only Kyle Brand, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Multiple Migs kicked it up another notch. Yes, he did.
Ooh. Very funny.
Yes, he did. Okay, let's take a break. So we're on time for Michael Holly. We got to be on time for him because we got to be on time to get you to Brother from Another right here on the Rich Eisen Show on NBC Sports on Peacock and this particular radio station.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, I should bring that up with him.
Absolutely.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm interviewing Josh. As soon as this show's over, we're back here on the show. Michael Holley's going to join us in a second. As soon as the show's over, I'm going up to NFL Network to interview Josh Allen for Game Day Morning. I should bring up The Mandalorian just to run up the tab of NFL Network having to get Mandalorian footage.
I think so.
See if he accepts your net.
That's what I mean. And you need a quarterback finally to say yes, Rich.
I need to say, yeah, quarterback's
got
to
say. You need a win. You
Michael Holley of the show that we are taking you to, Brother from Another, every single day after us, right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. How are you, Michael?
Hello, Rich, and goodbye. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. I had a great time.
I know. We got to you a little late.
No, I'm not talking about that.
What?
That's not why I say it.
Why are you saying that?
I just wanted to say officially.
Yes.
That was on the same show.
Yes.
As Tay Diggs. Same day. Me and Tay Diggs.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, that... If I were still single, do you know how I would use that to my advantage? I know Tay Diggs. You want me to say something to Tay Diggs for you?
Sure.
I can talk to Tay Diggs. We do the same show together.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many possibilities with that.
And yet, what are we both now going to do with that information? Sadly, nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It moved me. It made me happy. I was able to tweet it out, Instagram, and just let people draw their own conclusions, make them think that I'm a bigger deal than I am, that I'm a big deal at all. Like, oh, he must be something special. He's on a show with Tay Diggs and Rich Eisen. That Rich Eisen, man, that guy's incredible.
Well, I mean,
talk to everybody.
How do I make this transition here? Okay, I'll make the transition. Here's how we're going to make a transition. Based on your and Michael Smith's performance in our fantasy league, how do you guys get your groove back?
Hey, look, Rich.
Yes.
It's a long season.
It is. You're right. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It's exactly. January. Don't you know, haven't you paid attention to any of these press conferences that have happened?
No.
Like our guy Dan Campbell in Detroit, get people fired up. And then the start of the season, if you struggle at the beginning, it's no big deal.
What if you...
Okay, it's no big deal.
Michael, you know, because as you know, deep down, he's got a great sense of humor, and he's also a very charitable person. He's one of the first coaches to give me a check for Run Rich Run every single year, and that's Bill Belichick. How much for charity to get Bill Belichick to step to a podium and read Dan Campbell's soliloquy verbatim, word for word? Have him talk about kneecaps and biting and all that sort of stuff.
Wow.
Bill Belichick. How much money would we get for charity? How great would that be? Getting Bill to do it.
That would be great. You think, Bill might
do it.
Bill might do it. As you know, I mean, you've been around Bill away from the traditional press conference setting.
Yes.
Very funny guy. Very funny.
That would be amazing if we can get him to do that.
And will surprise you. Will surprise you with some of the things that he knows about, and some of the things that he's willing to do. So, yeah.
Well, before I let you go, Michael, because again, I know we got to do this quickly, and you got to get to your set. I've got a couple minutes here, and I want to pay off what I promised people I would ask you. I said at the beginning of the show, Tom Brady, every single one of them winning his Super Bowls are special, and we went through it. The first was the first, and then the second was the second. The third made it back to back. Fourth was the first in a long time. The fifth and the sixth were just to separate him from the rest of the pack named Bradshaw and Montana and things of the nature. The seventh, do you think this one would be the most special because of the circumstances, the age, and the different team and everything? Michael, what do you think?
I think the answer is yes. And before I get to the real reason I think this will be the most special one, think about what you just said. You said the seventh.
I know. Okay. I know. It's insane.
And that would be the seventh Super Bowl win and 10th Super Bowl appearance. And so the fact that we can even run these down, I always say to people in New England, like, we got nothing to complain about in Boston. Well, you can start talking about your Super Bowl cities. Oh, yeah, where was that Super Bowl? Oh, that was in Jacksonville that time. Hey, was that the first time in Houston or the second time in Houston? Was that the first time in Arizona or the second time in Arizona? So you've had lots of experiences. I have no complaints. I've gotten some books out of it. Look, I just straight up, it's been pretty good. But the first time Tom Brady went to a Super Bowl and won it, Patrick Mahomes was 5 years old. So he's 24. He goes to the first one. If he wins another one at the age of 43 for an organization that is not known for its year after year success, that's an incredible one. That's an incredible story, and it rivals that first one when they were 14-point dogs to St. Louis. But I think this one would be the most special one of all.
Especially since, again, it's for somebody other than New England, you know. And then, you know, in the minute I have left, and that I know it's not nearly enough time, the conversation will turn to that Brady has won the conversation of who's more important, him or Belichick. I say that's hogwash. That these are apples and oranges in terms of rosters and situations in 2021 and 20 as well. You know what I mean? Like, that's totally different. So you would agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that story is already written. I mean, they both have bust prepared in Canton already, right. And Belichick is tied to Brady, and Brady is tied to Belichick. I mean, that would be like you trying to, you know, separate from Michael Irvin. I mean, you guys are you're tandem. You're prime forever. That there's just no separation between Eisen and Irvin, Eisen and Sanders.
I agree that me and Irv and Dion are just like Brady and Belichick, and I appreciate that analogy, Michael. I really do.
That's right. What did give me that one more that line that Dion said to you about
which,
brothers?
Oh yeah,
brothers play corner.
Yeah, that's right. When I said when somebody was coming into the league, coming out of the combine, covering somebody, and his brother was already in the league, I'm like, has a brother, you know, as a receiver, has a brother ever covered another brother in the NFL? And he basically said, you know, Rich, you know, brothers cover brothers all the time, and something like that. I absolutely went dark at that point in time. I blacked out.
No pun intended.
Oh, my God, Jesus.
There's another one.
All right, I'm done here. Go say hello to Michael. Go say hello to Michael Smith. Yeah.
And by the way, real quick, Rich,
yes.
Tell you I said what up, all right?
I will do that. Thanks for the call. That's Michael Holly. I don't have the heart to tell him that Tay's already been on, so. Oh, my gosh. That's it for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I want to thank Richard Jefferson and Michael Wilbon and Tay Diggs and Kyle Brandt and Michael Holly. I want to thank them all. We will set you up for who's on our show on Friday when we come back here on Peacock to take you to Brother from Another. But on behalf of all of us here on the Rich Eisen Show, listening to us on this Rich Eisen radio station, whether it's Sirius XM Channel 211 or anybody on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, check us out on Friday. Take care.